We'll continue with Yatzer Shmaya, Shara Yichud, and the seventh Perek. It should be Daf Nun Tes. Do you have it? Seventh. Acharaya Shaboyer Yisborachu Echot. Where is the proof? What is the proof that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is one? Who? This is Mipnei is Borelani, because since it has been absolutely as proved to us with the Derech HaRoyos, with all kind of logical proofs, as he used it in the previous 5th and 6th Perek, which we didn't learn, but we accepted. Ki yesh lo olam boira, that the world does have a creator. The world can no way be possible, came to existence without a creator, with a purpose, with a design. If that's the case, is chayav nelachkar olav. Now we have to research on this creator, imhu echad, is he only one, or yoyser mechad, or is there more than one, and the work in conjunction, the work in partnership. Also, first we have to research, is there one or more than one? And then, this is something which we will have to research with our own intellect to come to the absolute recognition that there couldn't be more than one. And then, we have to explain the truth of this one. This point has to come to our realization, Meshiva Ponim, from seven different argumental points. We're going to use seven argumental points to prove that creator, which we came to the recognition there must be a creator, there couldn't be a world without a creator, that creator is only one and doesn't work with nobody in partnership. It's not depending on anyone else. And I'm going to use seven logical arguments which will all lead to this conclusion that creator must be the one and the only one. The one of the arguments is, Mitzad b'chinoseinu, as we research, le'ilois hanimtzois, all the creatures was being supplied by one supply. Kikashen is boinav em, as we look into the creatures in the existence, nimtza we will find, misporon pochois ma'aluleyan. The reason of their existence obviously must be less than the product. In other words, let's establish the Hebrew word ilo va'olul. Ilo is the reason and the supplier. Olul is the byproduct which comes out from the ilo. Ilo is the reason, is the cause and effect. Take it. There's a cause and effect. Ilo is the cause. And olul is the effect. Now, usually, which one is greater in number? The cause or the effect? What product is producing multitude? Usually, the cause, from one cause could come out many effects. There's no effect from two causes and from three causes. That's the usual. That's the fact in this world. Let's take statistics. The statistic is, if you eat one product of food, you may have 10 different effects on the kidneys, this, and the stomach, this, and the blood, this, and so on and so on. One cause could produce many effects. Very rare that many causes produces one effect. You must have, understand? Now, obviously, you could say the other way. You could say you could argue it around, and you could say that's not so. Many causes makes one effect. Take many parts in a car makes one car. Okay, the cause. What is the effect of a car? What's the cause of the car? Because I put in an engine, and I put in a radiator, and I put in a transmission, and I put in a tire, and I put in this, and I put in this. I put in a few hundred ingredients. And those few hundred ingredients had created one car. They said, why is the car in existence? It's a cause and effect. If you put all these causes together, the effect came out one car. So here we see a multitude of causes created one product. But this is not true. Because the cause of the car is not the parts. The cause of the car is me, my desire to have a car. I am the cause. I want a car. I designed a car. I planted a car. Because I designed a car and I want a car, I'm the cause of the car. So I made the effect, and I made the transmission, the tire, and this, and this, and this, and this. So actually, it's again, you always go back to the root. The root is always this one cause which creates many effects. Yes, I am the source of the car. I need a car, and I want a car, and I make a car. This is the only me alone. Because I want a car, so I go to design it, and I make it. I make hundreds of parts. It's true after that, I put all this thing together and I make it one car. Now the one car is put together of many, many multitudes of parts. But all this multitude of parts comes from one source, of one cause, which is me, which I designed them. So that's everything in this world, the cause is creating multitude of effects. There's no effect put together by coincidence, by 10 different coincidental causes. That's the fact which you have in this world. So obviously we do see the cause, the ilo, is less than the olud. The ilo is the cause and olud is the fact. Kikashen is boinu v'emzuk nimtzu misporam pochos maluleim. We see that the cause is always less from the effects. V'kol asher nachgor al ilois ilois v'hen lemalo. As we're going to go backwards to the cause of the cause and the cause of the cause, nimtzu misporam pochos maluleim, always find lesser and lesser and lesser. V'kol asher talere, as you go up higher, despite misporam, you see the number going to get less. Asher gil ilo achas, until it's going to come to one cause. He is the cause of all causes. Let's take people. Let's take as examples people. You could find thousands of people. Okay. So where is all those thousands of people coming? So the thousands of people are effect of a previous cause. What is the previous cause? The parents. So let's take the parents of these thousands of people. Let's collect all the parents of the thousands of people. They're definitely going to be less than the people. Because the parents had 5 children and 8 children. So let's take the level, the lower level. Take all the people. You have 100,000 people. Come to their cause. What was their cause? You're going to find their cause. Their parents, they are maybe 50,000 or not even 30,000. Take the parents' causes. They're up to 3,000 or 5,000. Go to the further causes. Further coming up. They come down already to 500. Then they come down to 50. Then it comes down to 5, then it comes down to 1. As high you go searching for the cause, for the original cause, until you're going to reach the 1. So now it comes the 1. So who are you coming from? Obviously, you come from one parent. So obviously, he must be originated. That's the reason. Because you see, everything comes in multiple. Same thing, look at the trees. Look at the orchards, okay? Take a big orchard. Has been planted by one farmer. Where does it come from? The seed? Where does it come? It's always one tree, one thing, all one cause. So obviously, we see already in nature that anything that you take in consideration, you look at the cause, where they're coming from, the further you search where they're coming from, it will lead you to one. And so you look at the whole world, it leads you always to one. And all the ones leads to that only one, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Elohim so Elohim. He is the cause of all effects. Obviously, must be one. Because if he would have a partner, there must be somebody above him. Every two has something above. So there is not shaykh logically, even as we see in this world, and actually, the stamp of the creator is stamped in his creatures. What is the question? The question is, we accept the fact there is a God. He created the world. There is a design. He created the world. We accept the fact. That is proven. The world has a creator. But who says to you, it's one creator, maybe it's two creators? Says, look at the world, you see the world has stamped in the oneness of the Creator, because everything in the world leads back to the original one, to the original cause, to one cause. All the people go back to one Adam, to one man. All the people get men. Now, suppose if it's a hard there was one man, maybe there were two men originally created. Now, obviously, then there's not the original cause. There must be something above that, because everything which you take further up to this origin, you always come up to one. So how could there be two gods? If there would have been two gods, then somebody must be above them. What is putting them together? We could find ki ishe hanim tzoyim. You see them people, the creatures which are in existence, ein tachlos misporam. There are no end to their numbers. So Kashen is boim b'mineim akoyim. We're going to look, the multitude, all kinds of existence of creatures which is incorporating them. You take the collective part, all those lesser, which is less, as we said, you call minim, all the kinds, from all kinds, all of have multitude of people below them. And all the kinds, there's a number to the counts. For instance, we could count all the animals, how many types of animals there are, but we can't count how many animals there are. Okay? We could find there's fish, all kinds, there's so many fishes, so many birds, but you don't know how many birds of every kind is. So, you see, all the existence is numberless. Okay, you can't count how many fishes, but you could count once, but you take every fish of his type, you find so many types of fishes there are. So as higher you count, they become small number, they become small less. So then we take all the kinds to which group, to grouping them, they're going to be even less. Ketachas called sugmer sugam, every kind from his own kind, minim ravim, they have many more. As they go back to the original cause, you miss per sugim pochas. So always they're going to become less and less. Other shirigiyal suga sugim until going to come. Until the point you come to the four elements which the world is divided. You take all the creatures and all the beings and all the existence in the world and you put them, bring them back to the cause, then you're going to divide them in four elements, which is the daimim, tzemeh, chamed, haver. Anything that belongs to one of the four categories, which is the domain element, is the groin element, is the animal element, and the man element. Everything in the world exists one of the four types. Kar Omar the philosoph once said already, ki suge asugim, that the substance of all existence hamasor is all divided in ten. We said that I jumped it, I went already up to four. But it says that you take all the elements, the basic material of all the materials, there's only ten. The actual essence of it, what is it? Then the kamo, and then the number. Etzem is the quality. The kamo means the quantity. The eich, and how they are formulated. Mitztarif, how they are combined. The ono, where do they lead? Mosai, when are they in existence? In matzov, what is their situation? The kinyan, and what is their possession, which they dominate? Upoyel, and what are they affecting? The nifal, and what are they being affected? Every element has these 10 pieces in them incorporated, which you could look every element out of these 10 facets. So, see these 10 positions is creating, like they say, here is a tape recorder, which is the quality of the tape recorder, and the quantity of the tape recorder, the size of it, and how much are they, and how are they, what is it combined with how many parts, and so on and so on. The kasha nachkor al ilos ishe mine seres sugemeile. And as we're going to research, who caused these 10 different effects, which is space, time, equality, and quantity, as I said. In Tzuchom, you find that they're all being caused by 5. The 10 is being caused by 5. Hatznuah v'aseres ha'ar. Hatznuah, the movement, v'aseres in the fundamental essence, ho'arbo, which the 4 essence, shema eish v'ruchah mayim v'ofor. What is the substance of the quality? They come from 4, which is comes from fire and wind and water and earth. Those are the elements. There's no other elements in the sort of outside of the 4. This Rambam brings it out. Everything in this world, every quality in this world, is a combination of these 4 basic elements, which is fire, wind, water, and earth. Everything is a combination of these 3, of 4. Obviously, fire has obviously 99% fire, has a little bit of ruach, a little bit of water, a little bit of this involved. Everyone is less. So there is only 5. Every being is divided in the 5 categories. One is the tenuah, one is the movement, the life, which is the neshama. And actually, you take every essence, you take this book, obviously the book has a certain spiritual presence to himself. Everything has a locus. That's the tenuah, the movement, the life which is in it. And then you have the basic, fundamental existence elements, which comes from the Arba Yesodos, from these 4 basic elements which the world has been created, which is Eish Ruach Mayim Vofer. The Kasha Nachkar is going to go search Al Ilois Yesodos Arba. What is the cause of the 4 basic elements? Fire, water. Okay, those are 4. What is the cause of that? Nimtzon is going to find the Chayim Vetzure, Chayim Shnayim, there are 2. There's the basic cause of this. All the elements are 2, spiritual and material. The Tznuah, movements come from the spiritual part, and the four basic elements comes from the material part. Now we're going to search further. Where do they come, these two creatures, which is the spiritual material? They're going to be less. What is the less? How could it be less than two? One. And what is the one? Here it's saying about it as well. This is the desire of Hashem. It's the only cause. Everything is finding back, everything has been channeled back to the Ekodesh Baruch Hu. The Ein Mispar Pochus Mishnaim El Echot. Nothing could be less from two than one. If can avoid this Baruch Echot, I'll come upon him. Because Baruch Hu must be one. It couldn't be more than one. It couldn't be more than one. Because everything in this world leads back to one. Who is that one? That one is the ultimate one, which is Ekodesh Baruch Hu. So how could we ever have a minute that there is two gods? Because Baruch has a partner. When we go back and search the cause of all causes, it's automatic, brings it back to one. Im ken aboyr is borach echad ala kol ponim. Kodesh Baruch is one. Or ken oma dovid ala shal so dovid amelach said, locho Hashem amam locho. To you Hashem belongs the kingdom. Va misnase, which you elevate, lochoil to everything l'rosh as a head. The kingdom belongs to you, as a matter of fact, without belief. It's logic that you are the kings of all. Because it says, locho misnase, lochoil. You elevating yourself to all existence, by L'Rosh, but you becoming the head of it. Because every existence, logically, has a head where the existence is coming down from. As we said, Elois to Elois. All the causes lead to one cause. And who is that one cause? All that cause is being addressed to you. You are the king of all causes. You are the cause of all the causes. Rotsalavim is to say, who Rom al kol Romim, is higher of all the heights, the Elyon kol Elyonim, is above all aboves, V'Rosh called Chilo, and he's the head of all beginnings, the Ilas called Ilo, and he's the cause of all causes for all them, for all causes and effects. You understand the first argument? That was the first argument. And it's a very beautiful argument. I mean, what we are now trying to prove, what everybody says, from seven argumental viewpoints, which will come to the logical agreement that Hashem is only one, and he has no partners, no helpers, because all effects in this world, when you start researching the origination, where they originate, they all will always lead to one. It's everything in this world is like a pyramid. Everything is like structured as a pyramid, right? Take multitude of people, as you take the parents, as you go above, it leads always to one. And so is everything. Vasheni, what is the second argument in as far as proving Hashem is one? Mitzat Simone Achoch Manirah Mechol Ha'olam Hazeh. Take all the signs of wisdom which is manifested in this world. Look all the chokhmah which is in this world. Elyoina v'tachtoinoi. Look the upper worlds, the spiritual worlds, v'tachtoinoi, the material world. Fourth, all the domain elements, which is frozen, the unmoving elements, rocks, it's smochot, and the groin element, the vegetation, ubalachayim, and the animal ashaboy, which is in it. Look all the chokhmah, which is all the wisdom, which is inscribed in all the existence. The Kashan is stuck in boy. As we're going to look into them, Yoreinu, it will teach us and will show us, Kikuloi, all originate machsheves from the thinking choshev echot, from one thinker. Imeleches boire echot, all comes from the product from one creator. Avid, all comes from one creator. And since I gave the analogy before with a car, when, suppose you are the smartest IQ person, you're a very smart person, but you never saw civilization in your life, and you live back 500 years back. You're the smartest person 500 years ago. Okay? Smartest inventive person 500 years ago. But nobody had this in his wildest imagination 500 years ago, an illusion of to see a car, a horseless wagon. And imagine this man walks out of a cemetery. He wakes up after 500 years sleeping in a cemetery, and he walks out, and it doesn't sit over, and he sees a car in movement, sees a car in action. What would he say? Now, he's a very smart person. He sees a wagon, goes without a horse, and he drives. Since he's very smart, what would he say? He would start researching the car. He would start taking apart the car. How does it come? Oh, there's a wheel. Okay, a wheel is so too, but who is turning the wheel? Okay, there's gears. Okay, there's a transmission, but who is doing it? And it comes to the, and until it researches, until it comes to the original energy, which is the combustion in the engine, there's this fire, and this is water, and this is the sparks, and see the gasoline comes, and gasoline is also soot. He had oil probably too. You see the gasoline is causing fire, and since it's being compressed in a piston, and there is no air, and the piston is shooting, and then it's combusting, it's exploding, and since exploding, gives a push, and it gives a push, and the piston comes down, and turns a certain X. I mean, this, you understand what I'm talking, that's the way an engine works. Now when he sees, he takes things apart, and sees, and says, unbelievable, beautiful design, look at all this visible, all this beautiful little combination that the guy took in consideration until he built this energy which is done without man. I mean, he just put together. Could this man for any moment think that all this part was not designed by one man who knew in advance that he wants to have a car? Could he just go out to the field and just collect items on random and try to make from that an engine, try to put that together a car which should be exactly to the size and to the design and to the needs? Especially take today's modern cars, which you look up, I look up in my little Toyota, I take up the hood, I see the new motors, which I don't even know where to look anymore. I just see wires and everything, and just, I'm totally lost. Now when the man in a very objective way tries to research any combined, take this little tape recorder, the way this is combined, honestly, it leads, since it works in such a beautiful harmony, leads to my recognition that before even this thing came to existence, there was one man who designed it, who knew exactly what he wants, and he sat down and designed every little piece, that every little part, how it should fit the other part, should be put together. That's logical. That's absolutely, this is one of the miracles of evolution. When you ask this simple question, how could you believe in evolution? That evolution had put together this millions of pieces with the most beautiful, beautiful design, just to create a hair, a leg of a fly. We can't create them. We can't create the wisdom in the chokhmah, how much it goes into the leg of a fly, how it works. Never mind the eye, how it works. There's millions and millions of pieces of taking consideration and designing it beautiful. And but then you say, but obviously, okay, you say it's an effect of time which billions of coincidences happen to mushroom somehow and develop into this thing. But if you look at, if I would say this computer has been produced by himself, well, how could it be? Really, it's in 10 million years it could not be, but by 100 billion years it could be. 100 billion years this could be. I mean, the time gives you so much. This is all when I could say that one part of the computer of this is not connected to the other one. I may say the table, the wind came and by coincidence had stood up the slacks, and by coincidence came another piece of sheetra, a piece of plywood, and blew exactly on the top and simultaneously at the time in the four legs, coincidentally was getting up, and then the wind went away, it remained standing. Okay, so if you're sure enough, you could believe it, but you can't believe it when you see this unbelievable production of this design of the tape recorder of a car, how it's harmonized. Obviously, the combination of this proved there must be a pre-designed plan, a blueprint, before that you knew I want to produce a tape recorder. In every tape recorder, I need this and this and this and this, and now we're going to design all the spots which are going to fit. So there must be, obviously. The plan and the design which is needed before you're putting it together, how this thing came to effect. Oh, this must have a Elo, must have a cause who wanted it to before. So this is what he tries to say. He said the second argument is that you see everything in this world, the way they combine, the way they harmonize, the way they interact one with the other, leads to that the man's kashin is stuck with Uranus, who shows kula machshev, this all comes from the mind of Choshev Echot, from one thinker. Imelechus Boyrechot, all come from one creator. That we find al machlokos of although the world is divided with all these multiple divisions, b'shroshav in the root of sadoisav in the foundations, u'mizdama b'toldoisav, and they still have a certain common in the effect b'shove b'chalokav, and they have certain commonness in all the different departments. It means this part. If the whole world will be put together, let's say in the sense as I said before the table. A table, I used a very simple thing. Even a table, which you don't need so much thinking to put together, four standing 2x4s on top of it, plywood, and here's a finished table. And even that would be very less, very unthinkable that this happened by coincidence, just happened to be put together. But at least, if the whole world would have been combined in this type of a combination, as I said, the table with four legs and in a plate, you could maybe argue. But there's not such a thing. There's nothing in this world which is so simple as a table. And even the table is not so simple. Because the table, first of all, you have to cut the four legs exactly to the same size and whatever it is. But you see, the mechanism in every part of the world demands planning. And especially in today's world, in electronics and science and everything. Everything has a diagram. Everything has an exact blueprint. And obviously a blueprint is there before the product is in production. So the blueprint has been done by a person who knows in advance what he wants. So since every part of this world, you could search for the blueprint, obviously prove there is a blueprint. You see the beauty in every part of a person's organism and everything must have a character. There must be one, and everything leads again back to that one, the one who made. Now, even more, the more today, even science today, the more they are scientific, and if they're objective, they come to the conclusion there must be one creator. Albert Einstein said it. Even he was not a religious man, but he says the more I look into the beauty of nature, the more respect I'm getting for his creator. Because science leads you to one case, because the more they understand things, they say there's not one thing which is not interacting with the other thing. As we spoke many times, the butterfly effect. There's not one thing. You could departmentalize the world in many departments, okay? The department of mechanics and of growth and of farming and medicine and people. And so you could make many categories, many groups in this world. And every group has its own demand. You could say all people somehow interact. That you could understand. You could even understand how all animals are interacting between themselves. Then you could say animals and men are interacting. Okay, that you just erase, just extinguish, try to liquidate a certain type of a bird. A certain type of bird which is harming the farmers. And they try to liquidate a certain thing, all of a sudden, all the cows have been affected by certain poisonous growth, which the birds used to eat up, and the milk came in, and people eat the milk, and all of a sudden the whole population in that area has been affected with certain disease, and they didn't realize that by eliminating a certain wild creature, eliminating a bug of people thought that this is causing a certain problem, it has affected the whole health system of the whole thing. You see it, the more and more the research that everything is affecting. So obviously when you see all of a sudden you take departmentalizing the multitude of the world, everything is departments, every department is interacting with other departments, and then as you go deeper and deeper, you find that all is one, that there's an overall plan which designed all those multi-billions of existence, again leads you to one. Everything goes back to one. Before, the first proof was more in the quantity, goes back. Here we come in the quality, the interaction of the quality of the existence of all the effects in the world comes back to the root, to one cause, leads you back to one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Oysa says Chochmas HaBoiris, you see all the beautiful design and the proofs of the Chochmas for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nira is, you could see the Kat, the Ketani HaTzilis HaGdalev, in the smallest creatures and the greatest creatures. You see, the Chochmas for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chochmas of the design, you don't have to, you know, you could see it in the smallest creatures just as you see it in the biggest creatures. You see it in the biggest. You wouldn't say in the elephant you see more chachma, more wisdom, more mechanism than you see in a little mosquito. In the very contrary, in the mosquito you see the big chachma Hashem. In the smallest, little, simplest thing, if you put them under the microscope, you go wild and crazy seeing the beautiful chachma. Meidois, and all of them are testifying. They all belong to one creator, in the wise creator, that he designed them, pre-designed them, everything for a further future reason. If the world would have had more than one creator, as the people want thing, then the design of those chachmas mischaletas would have been different. In the different part of the world, if they would have come from two different roots, if there would have been two different creators, obviously everyone would have come down in a different. You must find two stamps in this world, since all the world has one design, one stamp, and all origins to one creator. Now you could say, Lab Lelef Abdullahs, take General Motors. General Motors producing cars and tractors and trailers and motorcycles. You could see the design and the blueprint of all the product which comes out from General Motors leads to General Motors. Okay, but you wouldn't find in General Motors, you wouldn't find Iowa's electronical system, because it's not General Motors system. You see a tape recorder, it just comes from either from Sony. It doesn't come from General Motors. You see, obviously this comes from this department, this is his creator. But since in the world we find in everything one design of Chochmah, and one is interacting with other ones, there must be only one creator. All will come from one source. Boy, then even more. We find the product, we find every product is needed in the existence of the world. Everyone is complementing the other. Not one product in the world is a complete product independent for himself, only with the other part. Every existence in this world does not stand on his own leg. Doesn't stand independently. Everyone needs the cooperation and the combination of the other product. All products are interconnected. Just like the problem to say it in English. They used to have, in those days, they used to defend themselves having a certain shield, armor shield. And how's the armor shield put together? By little pieces, links, little coins, right?
Rivets.
It's called like the fish have this.
Chainmail.
Okay. Now, they're all put together, they're all weaved together. Now, obviously, there's a design. If not, it wouldn't be. See, the whole world is really like one piece of weaved of pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces. You take anything in this world,
they're interlocked,
and they build one blanket, one system. We are so little, we only see this little bit. We don't see the overall picture. Everyone sees his little life, his little surrounding. But the while you look at it and see how you connect it, again, the butterfly concept. Everything's connected to him. The chelka mita, every good for Adam, as you see the organism of a man, the sharam chuborim, all connected. Everything is connected. Today, medicine came to the agreement, came to the approval, which not long ago they didn't approve of it. There's not one element in a person's body which is not a crucial need. Today they don't take out stencils so fast as they used to take out. They don't take out just anything. They know everything which is in a man. Even medicine till not recently didn't know what does it help the man. Today they come to the conclusion everything helps the man. There's not one thing in a man which is not a crucial need. Of course you could survive without it, but it's not healthiness. So you see, there's not one element in the soul which is not the needed ingredients in the world. You see the need of the moon and the stars as they are depending on the light of the sun. The sun is actually feeding the light of the moon. And the need of the earth depending on heaven, on water. We need the light, we need the sun's rays, and we need the water. As animals need one part of animal needs the other part of animal. A part of them eat the others. One animal eats the other animal. Like the birds eat flies, and the bigger birds eat the smaller birds, and so on. Kedoyres mina oifes, just like these birds who are tearing apart, vadogim, and the fish, vachayes, all the animals, with tzeirich ha'odem and hakol, and man needs all of them. Everything is serving man. But kodes hakol ba'odem, and the final improvement of the creatures is ba'odem, is in the man. You see, everything which is in the world is made for the man's use. They have beautiful trees. What is the trees made? To have lumber. What is made lumber? To build beautiful mansions. To have beautiful homes. Everything in this world has been created to serve the man. Of course, the evolutionists have a problem with ecology. We are destroying the world. Because if they believe in evolution, the world came into existence with no design. So the man is also a byproduct of evolution, just like the mountains and rivers. So what right you have man to destroy the smart and rivers? You have the same product as they are. But now that we have the Torah, and with the Torah, everything has a design and a plan, and everything serves a higher cause. And the higher the cause is, more to justify it, it should utilize the lower cause. Like it's justified that the animal should eat the grass, which you see the Baal Chai eats the vegetation, and a man eats animal. And all the man is the highest level. He should serve Hashem. And through that, he's bringing everything back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's the way it has been created. And as we need the lands and the cities, everything is needed one to the other. Bektane Atzilus Yigdalei, Mesidus Chochma is seeable in the smallest of the creatures. Because you see the wisdom which is in formation of an elephant, through the greatness of the elephant, and then you say the chokhmah is not great, and if you take the smallest little ant. If you look to a microscope of the elephant, all the parts which put together the elephant is no bigger chokhmah just because of his size, as you take a little ant, a little fly underneath the microscope, you see just as much chokhmah, if anything, if not more. The more smaller it's going to become the creation, the opposite, the more smaller it is, the more refined it is, the more you see the greater wisdom and planning and design in it. Particularly, you see the involvement of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yosef Niklo, is more wondrous, more wonderful. When you're a man, you could see it more. That you could see, that proves to you, they all come from one designer, from one thinker. Because the Shovim and the Choyim and the Shlomo, all of them are comparable, even and equal to the completeness of the order of this world. That wisdom is establishing every space and every object in his part where he belongs. If there would have been more than one creator, there must have been two departments in the world. This belongs, this creature, this comes from this comes from General Motors, this comes from Sony. If there would have been two creators, it would have come from two different elements. But it's so successful, one wouldn't be depending on it. This tape recorder is not needed for a car, and car is not needed for a tape recorder. You could put them together, but it's not the crucial essence of it. But we do see it is a crucial essence of it. Because if they come from different originations, they would have been separated by the roots already between the two different creators. In which you see it's all linking to one. And all coming, all original, comparable in their fact. All of this proves to you that the one who renewed this object, the one who combined this object, the one who leads this object, all come from one designer, from one planner. So we don't have to become believers in blind belief that Hashem is one. It's logical, it's scientific, it could be scientifically, logically proven. Since the world is harmonized, if there's not one object in the world, there's not connection to the other, they must come from one original creator. Omar HaPhilosoph, the philosopher, says already, "Ein b'masha bo'er Elohim yoyse niflo," there isn't something more wondrous and wonderful which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, "b'masha bo'er v'rotzo lo'imar," whatever, "b'masha bo'er which he created." One of the greatest wisdom in the world is that you see in every part of the world the wisdom. There isn't a spot in the world that you don't see the wisdom of the Creator. That's the greatest chokhmah. As we say in Davening, Kulam bechokhmah osiso. Kulam, the whole world has been done with chokhmah. If there's another chokhmah, you have to detect the chokhmah. You don't have to go to the museum. You don't have to go to the most scientific places. You don't have to go to the astronomers to discover the greatness of Hashem. You take the most simple little thing. Take this eyeglass, the way it's been put together. See, Kulam b'chokhmah. See the original design of the chokhmah. And he counted all the elements in the world with Chulas Yeshiva, the way they have been founded and designed. But he said, Morabu ma'asecho Hashem. A multitude is your deeds, Hashem. All the multitude is existence which is in this world. All of them, you see the design of Hashem. Kulam b'chokhmah. He says every element in every part of him, you see the chokhmah. Malo ha'aretz kinyanecho. The whole world is filled kinyanecho with your stamp that it's you doing. Everything leads to one error. Everything which you evaluated all come from one designer. You know, artists who are very artistic, you know, all art. You look at pictures, millions of pictures, they could say, this has been done by this artist. I know Seifer with checks, films and mezuzahs. And any film which he opens up and says, this was written in the last 50 years. He knows every Seifer in the last 50 years. And he combines it. You mezuzah, you film, has been written by this man. Even in art, even in simple literature, he sees in scriptures, it just comes from one man. So obviously you could see in Chochmah where it originates. That's what Kula Mechokim, Mala Ritzkinah, the whole world leads to one Akkodesh Baruch Hu. Well, when my God, Lemasech Hashem, has the gate of Yudit Hashem, Moed Omku Machshu Hashem. Very deep is your thought. Because you see, in every product, you see the thought of Hashem is already taught so that this product should become a complement, a byproduct, helping a combination to any other product. Because the world is interacting in every essence or every facet of this world. So the more, that's therefore when the philosophers or scientists, or Albert Einstein, when he says, the more I look into the beauty of nature, greater respect I get for the one created the creator, because see, he took the atom and he looked at it, everything is harmonized in one. So this is the mitzvah of knowing Hashem Echad. It's a Shema, so I understand you, Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. There cannot be two creators. Would be three creators, there wouldn't be such a unity and a harmonization in this beautiful world as it is. So the world alone, the world in essence, is the greatest testimony of the oneness of Hashem.
We continue with the Sefer Rishmaya in the Perek HaShlishi, in Perek HaShvi. And he said in the beginning, there's seven ways how to prove the truthness of his oneness. We are now in the third argument. HaShlishi, in the third argument is, Mipnei Achidush HaKoyel Es Kol HaOlam. Because of the renewal, the fact that the world is a renewed thing, it has a beginning, which that incorporates the whole world. It's obvious that the world started at a certain age and stage. It started at the beginning. And that beginning, that renewal, this ischachas, every element in this world is included in that ischachas. Because the proofs had taught us on his renewals. This is one of the arguments which he used in Perek 15, the sixth Perek of the arguments to be proving there is an existence of God. And one of the arguments was because the world is obvious started. There's a starting point to the world. Nobody claims that the world is an ongoing existence which existed forever. Because the world testifies to that fact, it's originated somewhere, somehow. There isn't an origin point, origination point. Even those who try to, it all means to deny the presence of Hashem in design, plan, creation, but also even they agree it has to start somewhere. So they say Big Bang, but all kind of Mishigasin, yeah? That's exactly what you try to disapprove. Since the world testifies in its own existence that it originated somehow, somewhere, and everything which has been originated must have an originator. And obviously the one who is the originator is not a part of the world. Because if it's a part of the world, that means that the world had existed even before. So that originator is Hashem. So this is one of the proofs which you brought up in the previous paragraph which we had not learned. That's the proof of the existence of God. It must be the world demands an existence of a creator. So because nothing could become on his own. Every time we find an existence, this borelonu, and that proves to us that this existence was there after a stage when it wasn't there. Every existence became to existence because previously there was non-existence. We will know, we testify with our own intellect, Hasholem, somebody else must have created that existence, and made that existence exist, and he created that existence. This is one of the proofs that he is a creator. The Kim Shis Kaim, since it has been established, Kilo Oilam Boire, that the world has a creator, Shebroi, which he created the world, and he renewed the world from nothing. And royu lahalos al datenu, it's not appropriate even to bring up on our probability in our mind shiyoser pochus mecho, that he should be more or less than one. Shiyav shelim tzius oilam and bli boire echo, because it's not possible to have the world without at least one creator. The iluhoi efshu shi'alav is saying, if it would be possible, shiskaim oilam, the world could exist with pochus mi boire echo, less than one creator, in a malam atenik evo, we would not think like that. In other words, what are we busy now? We are busy now to establish intellectually the argument that Hashem is one. Hashem is one. There's no more than one. There's no less than one. It's a complete one. And the Chovetz Chaim said that we'd like to prove it with seven argumental points to prove the fact that Hashem is one. Hashem is one. So he's using other arguments which we used in the previous page to prove the existence, that Hashem must exist. Because one thing is a fact, that the world is a renewed creation. It wasn't always. That's a fact. It proves. Creation proves himself to that point. That's a fact. It originated somehow. And everything which was originated must be, it has an originator. And that leads us to the absolute acknowledgement there must be an originator, creator, which created this world. But that creator, the proof to that creator is only up to one. Of course, there's no way to prove there's two. And there's no way to prove there should be less than one, half or something. There's no such a thing. It points to that one. And this is one of the, that's what's called a Shem Echad. Since we cannot in no way imagine that something could create somebody else if he's less than one, then we have an absolute knowledge which we can't push away. Hashem must be one. Because anything which has been proven, because he had brought proofs to it, we find a reality which he cannot push away. Therefore, there's no reason we should bring that Shem Yosef and Masha Tzorich Meidelot, that he's more than the proof he had brought by Shlomo Sadova Shiloh Le'alev. In other words, if I'm establishing a fact from proofs, only the fact which the proofs have proven, that's the established fact. Anything beyond it is not. So if we have an established fact, a proof, there must be a creator, the minimum of that creator must be a complete one and not two. So what argument do you have to have that there should be two creators? What proof do you have to two creators? Actually, this argument so far is not an argument that Hashem must be one, he cannot be two. He's only using an illogical argument, since we're establishing a fact, there must be a God, through your logical argument. So you only came to the conclusion there must be a God, but you didn't come to the conclusion there must be two. Since there is no reason to must be two, there is no two. There's no point of assuming something which is not a necessity to assume. We could only assume something which we must, because without it, it cannot be. And the minimum is one. So therefore, there's no point of believing in two. But Dimyon, and the comparison analogy is Kibesh Nirek Sof Shover. It's a very beautiful analogy. And we see a beautiful literature. We see a beautiful scripture written handscribe, let's take a mezuzah, a sefer Torah. We see a beautiful page written, Ksav Shova Bechibura. We see a beautiful handscribe, which is all beautiful in the whole book, one handscribe. But Tzura Samichtav, the form of his letters, Ashenichtav Bo, it has been written it. Tzura Achas, all of them is like one. Yale Beratene Miyad, the miracle is going to come to our opinion. Kikoisev Echad Ksav Bechibura, one writer wrote them, one artist wrote them. It cannot be less than one. Obviously, there must be one. If it would be possible, it should be written by somebody less than one. Yinochashvim would have said that it's less than one. We always take for granted the absolute minimum. When we see a beautiful scripture written, all beautiful, one style of letters and beautiful design, artistic work. One thing is sure, it cannot be less than one, because less than one can't write. It's possible it could be more than one. But when we see the equalness, the evenness of the letter, you have no proof there's more than one, because obviously the literature, if there would have been two, three types of literatures, this is obvious, the one who wrote this could write that, that would have been proof. Proof there's two or three in it. But when you see one, how do you call this guy who read handwritings?
Graphologist.
So you take a beautiful literature and a graphologist looks at it. Okay? One thing I could tell you definitely, someone wrote them. And that one is not less than one, because less than one can't write. Yeah? But then it says, but one definitely wrote them, but only one. So in order to prove that only one is a graphologist, he knows it's only one. But it does not exclude the possibility of two. You have to be a graphologist to know that's only one. Less than one, it's no way. If it's not more than one, if you see the equalness of the writing of the scripture, that proves it's one and not two. Also, it would have been possible to have been written by two or three people, but the scripture testifies to the fact that seven in one. Same thing is the world. It's obvious since the world has a creator, the creator is a one, is a complete one, is not less than one. Because less than one can't create anything. So it must be one. The fact that maybe there's two, maybe there's three, maybe there's joint forces in together, is the answer to that is, in this world, scientists, when they're looking, especially in today's time, it's unbelievable when you see the atom, they see that in every fact which exists in the world has this beautiful, engraved, unique, identified nature in it, which repeats itself in every existence, which you see everything has been came out from one creator. So like a graphologist who sees one scripture, it must be, could swear that this was written by one, it couldn't be written by two, which that actually is a clear testimony that it's written by one. Also it's possible that somebody this could be written by more than one. But there's no point of believing it. So only if I bring testimony, if I absolutely prove if you see the differences between one scripture and the other. And if it would be so that it would be a difference between one and the other, if we would see the difference, then we would need a proof. We would see the testimony brings the days to. But since it's not, we have all the proofs because of the order of the scriptures, they're all one. We know it absolutely for definitely that one writer is in existence. He knows how to write. He knows. Nobody had joined him. Because we see the order in language, we see the order in the scripture. Because usually the deeds of two creators are contradictive. They're not consistent. If there would have been a certain inconsistency in the style or in the scriptures, that I could say it looks like it has been written by two, or maybe it has been written by one, which he changed it around. You see? If I have a literature which was written in two styles, so you could argue maybe it was written by two authors, or it was written by one author who purposely changed it around to make believe as it would have been two. So it has to be a graphologist to testify, no, it has been written by two and not one, because it's not possible one who wrote this style had written the other style. But at least there's a point of argument, maybe it has been written by one, or maybe it has been written by two. That would be the case if we have two styles, and the question is, was it written by one who changed style, or was it written by two others who write their own style? But when there is one literature with one style, which obviously proves it's written by one, there's no room left to think for a moment that it has been written by two. Because two should write the same style is absolutely not logical to accept. And since the whole creation in the world is one style, everything is beautiful, one design. All creatures have the same elements in themselves, the same atoms, the same. The more you take it apart, the more you find the uniqueness of the testimony of the oneness, the engraving of the oneness in it. So he says, the Nebe is equal to, in Mishtan, between the Kunz, Chen Noem Esau, we will say also, Baboyer is Adam, the Creator. Since the sign of his wisdom and bri oisav, and his all his creatures misdamois veshovois, they're all comparable, they all look alike. Hutzrachnu, therefore we are forced lahamin to believe kiboy de echot b'ram, that only one creator created them. If you look at the creatures, it testifies that only one creator created them. Shei efshelim tiyasam chidoshem v'balodam. It's not possible that somebody had invented some new thing outside of him, because there's not one thing shown in his in essence, nothing comes to on the coincidental. Because we don't see it, nothing could be done by coincidence. And since everything is done by plan, by design, if we see everything by plan and design, and as we evaluate everything by plan and design, we see the equality of all of them together. So therefore it will be established by our belief Shuhu Nimtzo, Hashem does exist, Shuhu Echot Kadmon, and He's absolute one. Kadmon, He was before the world was in conception. Hoyo v'yia, Hoyo He was, v'yia He will be. Rishon is the beginner, v'achron is the end. Gibor is the absolute power, V'chocham is the absolute wisdom, chai, and he is life. It means presently living. Because when you look at the creature, you see the way they function, you see all these attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all these points which we just said. V'omdeloni harai solov, and now we have proven to us all the proofs to him, v'mkoyim omdeni olav, v'rasein oise salah. We established the facts through our own vision, even he's not, which could be seen visually with the eyes or the intellect, leads to this belief. It cannot be any other way. Therefore we have to bring it up on our mind, only one creator created them. It's not possible it should exist without him. It cannot be that when you find renewal things which have been renewed. If it's not possible, it should be without him. But maybe it will be possible with more than one. This could have been inside, but there's no need to say it's two. Why is there two if it could be done by one? Alchemy, Shita. Anyone, Shita, everyone who will argue, Shiyoismech is more than one, he has to bring it up. Otherwise, if anyone tries to argue there's more than one God, the burden of the proof is on him. Bring me proof. It's more. Obviously, one thing is definite. Nobody could tie that there's less than one. That's not Shaykh. Okay, that's obvious. But now that we know there must be a creator, if anyone wants to argue there's more than one, okay, I'd rather bring proof. And there's no way that you could bring proof there's more than one as wrong. Because as we said before, when we see one beautiful scripture, all written in one design, it's obvious it says written by one. If you said maybe it was written by two who have equal things, okay, bring proof. How could two people write the same way? If someone wants to argue there's two gods creating the world in conjunction, in partnership, the burden of proof is you. And since there's no burden of proof, there's no way of proving that, unless you see discrepancy. But there's no such a thing as a discrepancy. When you see in the discrepancy, the equality, the way, it's all same to same. So we only have proof to one. And this is the chiyuv to know that there's absolute one. Because all the proofs which intellect could prove and nana makishas are not contradictive. All the proofs so far, meidos, all testify alachdus on his oneness. Imarchikos memer ineribu, and will throw away from any thought that his multitude creates, for shitu, for partnership, for dimion, and imagination. Kasher Hashem is borach, as like Kosh Baruch Hu says, the Novi says, Hayesh Elohai mivalodai, is then there a God outside of me? The Ein Tzur Bal Yudoti, is there? There's no strength which is outside of my knowledge. Omer says, Anirisham in Yachran, and the beginning and the end. Omer, Afiodios the Oret, my hand had established the land. The Mini Tipcho Shemaim, my right hand had stretched the heavens. Koirani Alem Yachran, and I call all Kesha call out to them, Yavn the Yachran, and they stand together. Omer, El Tzadik Mashiach, Kosh Baruch Hu is righteous, and he is the helper. Ayin Zilosi. Everything outside of me is ayin, is non-existent. So this is the Shem Achad, yes.
You see, it's hard to imagine anything, that there would be two creators and there would be two contradictory types of metzius in the world. And yes. What can you say to the argument? Like, because you can't imagine, I mean, maybe an amoeba and a human being are two different types of creations, even though there's similarities. How could we unify?
You could say
that there are two different kinds of.
So that's exactly what they argue. There's no such a thing. There's no demand to that. Nothing proves to that. You see, the early medieval time, the Rambam brings down the Oida Void is in the medieval time. I think I explained it in the beginning. At that time, when you have to know one thing. First of all the arguments against truth must be a pre-motive why you want to argue that. You have to know one thing. When a person is honest and objective, automatically leads you to the truth, leads you to acceptance, the obvious, there's a God, there's one God, and he created everything for one purpose. But people come up with foolish, stupid arguments. Big Bang, evolutionist, or no, absolute, and there's maybe more than one God, and if the God who says that he's caring, all kind of things. There must be pre-notion motive to escape responsibility, because that's the greatest burden on a person. If there's one God, and there's a creator, and there's a purpose, and there's a design, and there's an accounting. We are here on a mission. And that, once you accept this, you finish. You just keep simply dead. That you would use all kind of. Last night I gave a lecture in Cordozo Law School, downtown. Okay, so Canal was a big crowd. Maybe, I don't know, 60, 70 guys, all supposed to become lawyers. You know, big venue and everything. And I gave the quotes in the Torah to prove them. And you could see that everyone tries to bring out, but maybe it's a mathematical probability, maybe it's a mathematical, it's a maybe. So it says, how about maybe it's true? No, we have to fight. That we have to fight. There was many religious guys there. Now, if you're objective, if you're absolute objective, and you go through to analyze something on a 50-50 chance, why maybe? Why is there maybe? I mean, the fact that we live for 3,300 years, the fact that we keep Torah, the fact we have it's being accepted by all other religions, the validity of Torah, the Torah Minas Shemaim. Okay, they are the different things. Now here we come out with all kinds of mathematical, unbelievable, beautiful proofs, and so on and so. What pushes you to postpone it? Use all kind of stupid arguments. So we have to know, it's human pre-notion, how to call it?
Preconception
to not accept the truth. Because the minute you accept the truth, you're stuck. So you fabric all kind of the most stupid arguments against it. Now, first, like today, they try to deny there's no such a thing. Total evolution, Big Bang, and you name it, whatever it is. All impossibilities. They will laugh it off themselves. But still a fact. And if you ask him a good question, well, that's the miracle of evolution, he will call it. Okay, evolution is already a miracle, too. God has no miracle. The creation has no miracle. But evolution has miracles in himself.
Mother Nature.
What?
Mother Nature,
yeah. Now, in the medieval time used to be, obviously, there must be a creator, but there's many creators. So what's the Yitzhar Hara to say there's many creators? Because then, if there's more than one creator, then your duty is not absolute. You escape, you know, you're moonlighting, go from this one to that one. And one of the things, they used to worship stars, they used to worship powers, they used to worship forces. So one worshipped fire, the other one worshipped water. And it proved the point, they couldn't be done by one creator because fire and water is contradictive. Here that we, fire and water is contradictive, fire is burning,
good
eating
evil.
Up, what?
Or good and evil.
Or good and evil. Okay, and how could anyone? Elamai, there must be. So, who used to worship fire? Who used to worship water? So the tendency was those who lived around mountains, volcano mountains. The fire was very destructive, very energetic. So they worshipped, they prayed for fire. The fire shouldn't destroy them. And so if they get angry, it destroys us. And if it doesn't get angry, it gives us energy. Those who lived on the islands, and they were afraid of floods, they were afraid of water, they worshipped water. So, the Gemara said, the Pasuk says once, it's called the Kittim in Kasdim. Kittim in Kasdim. The Kasdim were worshipping water, and the Kittim were worshipping fire. So once these two groups, the Medrashkan, they went together in the desert, in a caravan, they have to go to the desert caravan. So came the time to pray. So comes the group of the worship water, so they take a bucket of water and start praying. So the guys who worship fire, they start laughing at you fools. You worshiping the water. What is water? Look, it's fire of fire. Says, no, our God is saying it. So what is this? Okay, we'll prove it to you. So he made fire underneath a bucket of water, and the water evaporated. Finished the fire, drank up the water. So then came the time to praying of the fire. They made the monk fire, they started praying to the fire. So came the guys with the water, the bucket of water, to extinguish the fire. So everyone proved to the other that their God is stronger. But still nobody exchanged God. He remained with the fire, he remained with the water. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu says. The Kazdim and the Kittim, did they ever exchange God? Also, everyone proved to the other that God is overpowering the others. But you are me, but you my nation. But nobody proved that stronger than you, God. You left your unpowerful God, and you went to worship all those mountains. But what is the truth? So, of course, the argument is to contradict with power. The answer is, how long are they contradictory until they are two separate? They don't serve one higher goal. But the minute it's been done by one creator for one higher goal, they're complementing each other. And I always say the muscle, take a car. If you take a car, an engine is run by fire and water. And if I need a car and I make one car, I incorporate fire and water in the complementary. And that gives you the energy together, makes you a car. So all the arguments of the multi-million contradiction powers which is in this world is only if you don't accept the fact there is a creator which created one world for one purpose. But the minute the one world is like one car, one vehicle, with one purpose, one goal, there you see all the multitude contradictive powers and forces which is good and evil in anything, is complementing each other and creates one. V'yad Hashem is kol asher osu hine toiv moed. That's the way the creation concludes before Shabbos. Hashem is see everything which gets in a toiv moed, it's good and very good. Says the Medrash, toiv is a yetzer tov, moed, the very, is yetzer hara. The evil makes good very good. Because good is good. What makes good very good? The fact there is such a thing as evil. And two, the battle with the evil makes the good very good. So you see that the evil is also very much complementary power for the good to make the good very good. Yes?
So we understand yesterday's piece of Chumash the same way. By the Egel Azav, that the people were on such a level of self-delusion when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down, when they wanted, they told. So they said, this is what took us out of Egypt. This is what took the Jews out of Egypt. Took the Israelites out of Egypt. Gold. And people were taken by it. People believed it, apparently. It's very hard to understand how can they, I mean, it's such a ridiculous thing to any thinking individual,
but
that a piece of gold is going to take somebody out of Egypt. It doesn't make anything, but yet the Torah tells us this.
So this is very simple. This argument is very simple. I'll tell you why. Very simple. What is Egypt? Egypt symbolizes materialism. The goal of life and the purpose of life is material. Like America, what are you worth? How much money you have? You know, when a new guy comes into the shul, how much is the guy worth? That's the first question. You're only as good how much money you have in your pocket. You may be a donkey, but you have money in your pocket, you're somebody. If you have a lot of brain here, but you have no money, you're nobody. Okay? That's Egypt. All of a sudden, Am Yisrael goes out of Egypt. Why did it go out? So Moshe Rabbeinu talks about Am Yisrael, leave behind materialism. You are not money, and money is not you. You're not gold. Gold is not the mode of life, and the motto of life. There's nothing it means, but it's not the goal of life. And the goal of life is spirituality, to receive Torah, to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, you use gold. Okay. What do people say today, unfortunately, says, rabbis in your business, listen, in the end, everything is money. The Meir Premishlana, one of the rabbis, used to say, Dam Rosh Hashanah, v'chein ten pachdok, v'chein ten koi, v'chein iskad v'shimcha, v'chein, give respect, and we take all this v'chein, we take all this tefillos, which we shalai milcho, all this beautiful tefillos, we ask for the shalai, we ask for the best amigdash, we ask for the kovat shemayim, take all this tefillos which we pray, and squeeze it out to see what comes out on the money, and money, and money. In the end line of all the tefillos, squeeze them out, only money comes out. That's Egel Azov. What did the Amisah said after he received the Torah? But then after the end of everything, I went out to left Egypt to get even more gold. I got Torah to make even more money. that's the modern argument. You left Egypt to make better money. But he says further, but you take all these monies, which you squeezed out of all the tefillahs, and start squeeze out the money, what will come out of it? Chen ten kohen, chen iskad ha-shimcho, hekaveh Torah and tefillah in Bisham Mikdash. It's true that money is a big motto of life. And even by Jew, when you see money is an important factor, but money is still the means, and the goal is still what you make out of the money. So, but in between, we're losing sight of the means and goals. Some people, also money is very important. The whole Samigdash has been built with Kesef, Zov, and Achoshes. Money was an important factor. And the Kruvi was done from gold, and Menorah was done from gold, and Kleah Mishkan was done from gold. And that was the very fine line. Eina lehecho Yisroel, av shetichu meheret Mitzrayim, yitzis a golden calf, which took out of Mitzrayim. What's when you see a golden calf? He'd have the kribah, also everything is gold. Because Am Yisroel, the Avodas Hashem, is interacted with the most deepest environment of materialism together. It would be much easier to have, if Hashem would say, listen, I proved to you that there's no need to be involved in any materialism. And just go to the island and have everything done for mud, and just live with fig leaves and finish. There would be no room of mistaking. But the Torah does tell us, everything is gold, and the divas are left, you have to give charity, you have to give. And it isn't, it's a big, and Ebbe Machabed Ashirim. And here you have the very, very divine fine line. So if that's the case, who is your God? Is the gold the end God? or the gold is only a means to the end God, which comes after God. What are you making out of gold? And if you look at tefillah, you could look at it and say, whatever you pray, whatever you daven, kvod shemayim, you squeeze it out, in the end you see money. Underlining motive was money. But go to the money of the Jewish money and squeeze out the money, in the end it's going to come out kvod shemayim. That's the final end. So the ego was a pretty sensitive, fine line of mistake. It's not as we take it later, take a golden calf and worship it. That's nothing more than a symbol. The symbol was, after the Egyptians lived for money, we Jews live for money too. Question is the money the means, or is the money the gold? And it's very, very, we live hand by hand, neighbors by neighbors, we do business with business, we're going with everything. And we hardly see any difference. If anything, the guy always pointed the finger that Jews are the materialistic. And don't think they said it only the American Jews. They said it even the most pious Jews in all generations. Because when the Goy came up to Yerushalayim in HaKodesh and looked at the Beis Hamikdash and Tamar Shlomo Melech, and Silver Shlomo Melech lives with the slavish, unbelievable palaces, the richness and the wisdom which has been put into this thing, what did the Goy say? Look at the Jews. They're just as material. If anything, they're more materialistic than any one of us. They're fancier, they have better taste, they know how to do with the money, and they know what to do with the money. The answer is yes, that's the fine line. Yes, we use the essence of materialism of this world to squeeze out Avodas Hashem. And if you look at it as a fool, you made an eagle zov out of it. You make that becomes your God. And it's a very fine line between worshiping the eagle zov as a goal and to make the eagle as a means or a goal. That's really the answer to that. We just mentioned here, I just want to bring in a line something which we learned last week, 2 weeks ago. I just want to give you a beautiful fine line. I don't know if you... We say Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. And I is Elos, like it says. El Tzadik Moshe, there's nobody outside of him. If there's nobody outside of him, what are we? What are we? What are we establishing? What are we accomplishing in your life? And it's a very good thing to remember, also it's not mamash to our union here, but it's a good thing to, I want to end, which we spoke two weeks ago. A person is only living one instant. You only live an instant, a second. That's all that you live. Your existence second, this is what you accomplish. The past is a thing of the past. The future is still not here. Okay? Ha'over ayin, ha'osid adayin, v'hoyle keherifayin. That's the memory of the Eben Ezra. Ha'osid ayin, the past is not here anymore. Ha'osid adayin, future is not here. But however, the existence can't define. It's like what's a define? Wink of an eye. And how much are, what are you? You're nothing but a define. You only exist the wink of an eye. Now, what do you accomplish in a wink of an eye? What do you accomplish in a wink of an eye? We say the name of HaShadosh Baruch is Yud Kei Vov Kei. Okay? That's the way it's written. And it's spelled. How do we pronounce? Adoy Noi, our master. Okay? Now, what is Yud Kei Vov Kei? Yud Kei Vov Kei. Yud Kei Vov Kei. Actually, if you take away the first Yud and say Hey Vov Hey, Hey Vov Hey is Hoive, existence. The truth of the matter, Hashem is the existence. So what is the Yud there? What is the Yud? Yud is future. Yud in the beginning is future. Like Yelech, you will go, Yoichal, you will eat. Kodesh Baruch is existence, he's the Hoive, and Yud is Mahava, he is making futures, every second he is making the futures. That's the way it's written. Adoin is a master. When you put a Yud in the end, he was master. A Yud in beginning, will. A Yud in the back, in the end, he did. Ochalti, or Shanti. If it's a Yadoin, Yud in the beginning, he will master. If you say Adoy, Noi, he was my master. So we do see actually, when we speak about the existence of Hashem, it could have been said as following. Hoive, he's the existence. Adoy, he's master. Presently. Hoive, he's the existence. And we pronounce Adoy, he's the master. But what we make from the Hoive, Yud, Yehaveh, he will put everything into existence. And Adoy, Noi, he is my master in the past. So this is actually Ani Rishon, Ani Achroid. Adoy Noi, he's the past. That's Rishon. Ani Achroid, the future is you have a
Yud and Hove.
He could work with everything that exists. Who is the present? Who is connecting these two Yuds? The two Yuds is connecting is you. That's the only room left for you, what you are. That you exist, that you combine the past and the future. He acted with everything the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That means as follows. You ask, what will be? Yes, what will be? Hashem will make to be whatever it's going to be. And we have no problem giving Hashem the future. You ask, what happened in the past? What happened to yesterday? You accept Hashem directly. I'm accepting his adnus, his masterhood. I'm accepting what you did for me in the past. What is my stage? Where do I come into the picture to make this connection in between the past and future? By saying in the same word, looking in Hashem, Yud Kevavke, is pronouncing Adonai Noi. I'm making this connection, past and future. That's the Keherifai. That's my. I'm the connector. If you look at the Aleph, the way it's written, the Aleph is above and two Yuds. And actually, the Yud above is the Yud of Yud Kevavke. The Yud below, which is the end Yud, is the Yud of Adonai Noi. Those are exist. Hashem, Ani Rishon V'Ani Achron. Those are the two Yuds. I'm the Vav. I'm the Vav is Chibur, is the connector. We connect these two Yuds and we make for them all of them one. So it comes out, a function of a Jew is the minute, the existence of this second, where you take Hashem's, crediting Hashem that he's all future and accepting all past as you master, that he ran the whole thing, that thing together makes Hashem. And that comes out in the word of Omein. Omein is the connector of this thing. Omein is Gematria of 91. Aleph Mem Nun is 91. If you take the two names, Havaya and Adna, Yud Kevavke is 26, and Adna, Adoy, no, is 65. 65 and 26 is 91. So when the Bashliach Tzibbe, you hear a brocha, and he says, Boruch Atah Hashem, says Adoy. So you know that he's pronounced 65, you read 26. And he answered, Omen, you unite them, both of them together, 91, you made the Shiluf of Havaya and Adna. That's the name of Hakodesh. So it comes out, we are really living in partnership with Hakodesh Baruch Hu on an ongoing, continuous basis by connecting these two. Ani Rishon V'Achron. Therefore, when we are saying Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimlach, why do we say it not in order? We should have said in order. Hashem Molech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlach. Why do we say Hashem Melech? Hashem is King. And then we say Molech and Yimlach. The answer is, what am I doing? I make Hashem Melech. Hashem make present Hashem King. And because I made Hashem present King, presently I connected the Moloch in the Yimlach. The Moloch, which is Adonai Noi, in Yimlach, which is Yud Kevavke, Yehaveh, will put into existence by making Hashem Melech. So our purpose of living is to always accept Hashem Melech. Hashem is presently King. When you, and therefore we say, Boruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ho'elim. It says, Boruch Ato, blessed are you Hashem. What is Hashem? You read Yud Kevavke, you pronounce Adonai Noi. Now it's missing what? The center, the me. That's Elokeinu. That's Elokeinu. This is we doing. That's Elokeinu. It's our God. The fact that Hashem is existence in the past, in the future, that's a fact. It's nothing to do with me. What do I add to it? Elokeinu. I put my presence in the center. I'm the connector. It's a Boruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu, which I put in the center. Through that, I'm making him Melech Olam, presently Melech of the world. If not, Molech Yimloch. Yud Kevavke is Yimloch. Adonai Noi is Molech. What makes a Melech? Elokeinu, the fact that I'm accepting him presently as Hashem. Therefore, we have to always to know and understand, be self-convinced, because the more you understand it, the more you mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously. So there's nothing direct connection to this piece which you just learned from. Okay. Let's go to the fourth argument, and we're going to finish with it. Baravi. And the fourth point. We will say the one who thinks Kavoyri Yosemech, but anyone who tries to think the Hashem is more than one. It's not possible that something which is the essence of everything shouldn't be one essence. If you would say this essence is all one, if the purpose is also one, the Creator also cannot be more than one. If everyone has the essence himself, it's not the same. Actually, it's very close to the previous half. The obviously we see that all the essence of the world, the existence of the world is all one. And there's no two types. Since there are no two types, it demands that all is one. If anyone would say there is two essences in this world, obviously we must see any differences. We don't see any differences. V'chol nifrash, and everything which is separating from the mugbal has to be limited. V'chol mugbal yesh lo tachlus, any limitation has its boundaries. V'chol asher yesh lo tachlus, everything has the boundary, mechuber, has to be combined. V'chol mechuber mechudash, everything is combined, is renewed from other ingredients. V'chol mechudash, and everything which is renewed from other ingredients, yesh lo mechadash, has somebody who renewed them. If somebody thinks that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is more than one, Matzach Shiyem Mechudash, they also, he has to be renewed. What does it mean? If there is more than one God, there's two gods, what is differentiating? What is Magbil? What is putting a boundary from one to the other? You're limiting God, and if you're limiting God, there's a boundary, and if there's a boundary, there's a combination. The combination of it is be renewed. Who renewed them? Obviously, must be something above them. But Adam Nebu already said, Kiboyra Oilam Kadman. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu has been proven as in the 56th day. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Kadman, the originator from everything. The Ilas or Ilas is Chilas Ascholas. The beginners of all beginnings. He's the cause of all causes. While Kalponim Echot, from all sides, if you take it, he must be only one. Kuma Shomer HaKosef, Ata Hu Hashem Rabat Echot. This is what the Posse says. You Hashem are alone. And obviously, notice in this argument he used, if there would be a harmony, there's more than one, there is two. If there is two, there must be separation one of the other. What makes it two? It looks different. It has different boundaries, different essences. So if different boundaries, it must have a limitation. The minute is limited, any limitation must have a certain ingredient, which makes the limitation. If there's two books, what makes the book? This is one book, and here is the next book. If there wouldn't be boundaries, the two books would be one. What makes them two? There must be certain boundaries. If it's certain boundaries, means there's a different ingredients which binds them. So obviously, who put them together? Somebody must be above them who bound them. So the one above them must be one. So again, this one, that was the fourth argument, that there must be one. Let's stop here.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kol.com.